Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel reading. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is our text. You may be seated. Dear saints, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist. That's pretty flattering. John was highly regarded by the people. Many people went out to John to hear his preaching of repentance, to be baptized by him in the Jordan. Others say Elijah. Arguably, after Moses, the greatest prophet in the Old Testament. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. If someone called you a prophet, I imagine you'd be flattered. While the scribes and Pharisees didn't care much for Jesus, they claimed he was Beelzebul, or at least that he was possessed by a demon, the majority of the people thought of Jesus quite highly. He's a great teacher. He's one of the prophets come back to life, or at least he teaches and preaches with the authority of those prophets. And they're not totally wrong. Jesus did preach with authority. He did do the signs and miracles that some of the prophets did. Yet despite the people's high opinion of Jesus, they got him wrong. A 2022 survey by Ligonier Ministries found that 53% of adults in the U.S., that's across all religions, just adults in America, agree or strongly agree with this statement: Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. An additional 11% said they were unsure. Think about that. 64% of the people in this country are unsure whether or not Jesus is God, or are sure that he isn't. That means most of the unchurched people you encounter on a daily basis may believe in a God of some kind, but not that Jesus is God. Most people hold a rather high opinion of Jesus. He was a great teacher. He is a great moral leader. He is even an example that we should follow. And they're not wrong, but that's not enough. There are many great moral leaders and examples we could follow from history. But Jesus is more. "But who do you say that I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus, you are the Christ, the Messiah. You are the one promised in the Old Testament that will come to his people and redeem them and save them. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus, you are begotten of your Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven. That is at the heart of Peter's confession. It is much more radical than the people's opinion, as flattering as that opinion was. It is much more radical than most people's opinion of Jesus today. For you see, when you have a Jesus that is actually God, that completely changes the equation. Jesus must now be recognized as the one through whom the world was created. Jesus must be recognized as the one who destroyed this sin-filled world in the flood. Jesus must be recognized as the one who appeared to Moses in the burning bush, as the one who killed the firstborn in Egypt. Jesus must be recognized as the one to whom every knee will bow, And the one who, when he comes in glory, will cause people who do not confess him as Lord to weep and lament and attempt to hide and flee for their lives. Jesus is the one out of whose mouth comes the sharp double-edged sword. Jesus must be recognized as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And that makes Jesus unsafe for sinners. Or as C.S. Lewis put it, that Jesus is not a tame lion. For the Christian, Jesus is our friend and brother and the true, holy, and almighty God. Who do you say that Jesus is? What is our confession to the rest of the world? In another place, Jesus says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Now we gathered here, week in and week out, we know who Jesus is. We confess it in our creed every Sunday, and that is good and proper. However, sometimes I think in our lives, just our daily routines, we may not think of Jesus in those terms or confess who he is through our actions. Consider Jesus as Messiah. It's true that we can set up all sorts of false messiahs. Money, politicians, I guess sports heroes or movie stars can be somebody's messiah. But the most insidious false messiah that we can set up is me, is ourselves, our own righteousness, our own good works. And the idol of good works is tricky to spot, especially in ourselves. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about a group of people who tried to please God through their works, I think instantly of the Pharisees. They tried to keep God's law perfectly. They were outwardly very good and pious people. But trusting in your own good works doesn't usually look like that. Usually it's this mindset. Well, I'm pretty good. I think the good I've done outweighs the bad. I've never committed actual adultery or actual murder. I think I've led a pretty good life. After all, generally good people go to heaven, right? The person trusting their own goodness may on the outside really not look all that good, but they reason that they've done enough to merit eternal life. You see how insidious that thought process is? You're not good enough to be your own Messiah. None of us is. You need a real Messiah, Jesus. Jesus goes on to tell Peter that on this rock, upon this confession, Jesus will build his church. I don't know if you've ever really thought about that word, church. This is actually the first time it's used in the New Testament. And it's a good thing Jesus is the one to use the word, because throughout church history, there have been no end to debates about what the church is. It's not a new word that Jesus just invents. It's actually an old Greek word. You can find it in the Greek poets, in the Greek Old Testament. The word originally means assembly, or a group of people that have been called or gathered together in one place. But Jesus repurposes this word. This gathering, this church, this assembly is the one that Christ builds. It's not just a gathering of random people for whatever purpose. No, it's the people God calls together that he builds into his church that confess what Peter confessed. Those who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus builds his church on top of this confession. The church isn't built on top of social programs or fun activities. It's not a club. It's not a way just to build a network for your business advancement. It's the assembly, the coming together of believers called by our Lord who believe what he says. That is the church. The gospel is proclaimed and the sacraments are rightly administered. And so, if Jesus is God and this is his church, we should fear, love, and trust in Jesus above all things. We know how God is to be worshipped. If Jesus is God, then we worship him. Most people that believe in a God of some kind don't worship Jesus as God. But we confess that the only way to know God is through Jesus. It's by knowing the Son. If Jesus is God, we should be where he is, in his presence, physically, where his body and blood are. I don't know if anyone has ever asked you the question, do you believe in God? Or some variant of it, maybe a friend or coworker. What if you answered that question like this? Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in Jesus. That would probably take them aback. But that is what we believe. To know the Father is to know the Son. To know the Son is to hear what the Spirit proclaims about the Son in God's Word. And around that word, we should be gathered together. We can't think, well, I can just read my devotions at home or only watch online. My faith is just between me and God. No, Christ is building his church. Christ is building us as an assembly, as living stones, hewn, cut from the rock that is himself. And we give praise and thanks to God that Peter got it right. We should rejoice that Jesus tells Peter that his confession is true, because when we make the same confession, when we say the same words that Peter does, we know that we are speaking the truth and thinking correctly about Christ. On this confession, on this truth, that Jesus is both God and man, the only Savior of the world, the only way by which we might be right with God, the Lord promises that he will build his church, and the devil, and the world, and the flesh, even the very gates of hell will not prevail against his church. The fact that Jesus is the Son of the living God and the Messiah, the Christ, this is pure gospel. It means that God has kept his promise to come to his people and live with them. It means that God has kept his promise that he would save his people through his servant, his Son, because our God bled and died for our sins and rose again. That is how Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Brothers and sisters, let these words dwell in you richly. The more we hear and say them, the more we hear and say that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the more that we confess the words of the Creed. Try saying the Apostles' Creed every day if you haven't done that before. The more you say it, the deeper that this truth works into our minds and hearts and into our psyche, into our souls. And we know that when we fail to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, that as we come to him in repentance, we are forgiven. God forgives our insistence on setting up our false messiahs. Jesus is the Messiah. In his death and resurrection, he has atoned for the sins of the world and for your sins and for mine. Jesus is the Messiah, and in baptism, he has joined you to himself. Jesus is the Messiah. And he is working out his salvation in you as you hear his words, as you receive his body and blood. This is the great joy we have in Peter's confession, in that reality that God has come in the flesh, in the person of Jesus. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.